Hello, this is the August 25th, 2006 meeting of the Pacifica National Board. Teresa Allens, the board secretary. Teresa, will you call the roll, please?
Yes, thank you. Rip Robbins.
Present, here.
Thank you. Ambrose Lane.
Here.
Thank you. A.C. Byrd.
Here.
Thank you. Rob Robinson.
Here.
Serena Shakir.
Good evening. This is Rosalinda Montes Palacios.
Thank you. Thank you, Serena. Sar Rondawa.
Here.
Thank you. Rosalinda Montes Palacios.
Present.
Thank you. Mary Berg.
Present.
Thank you. LaVarne Williams. LaVarne Williams. Does not appear to be here. Patty Heffley. Thank you. Bob Letterer.
Here.
Thank you.
Oh, hello.
Lisa Davis.
Here, but not fully.
Ray LaForest.
Right here.
Thank you, Ray. Okay, I did get it for Lisa Davis. David Adelson.
Here.
Alan Minsky.
Here.
Thank you. Don White.
Here.
Lydia Brazon.
Here.
Teresa Allen is present. Bill Jackson.
Here.
Thank you. Evelyn Bethune.
Present.
Deb Shafto.
Here.
Lonnie Hicks.
Here.
Thank you. Greg Guma.
Here.
And Dan Siegel is not on this call, right? Right. Okay. We have quorum, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. So we have, before that we do deal with the agenda, I just quickly want to say that we've received a resignation, from one of our affiliate directors,
LaVarne
Yvonne Dewis.
Williams. Thank you.
We've received a resignation notice from, one of our affiliate directors, Yvonne Dewis, and, we appreciate very much his service on the board and regret, the loss of him as a board member. We'll be dealing with that issue later in the meeting. Also, just to read the results of the balloting for the committee to investigate charges of racism and sexism. The committee consists of Lisa Davis, A.C. Byrd, Evelyn Bethune, Sar Rondawa, Lydia Brazon, and Yvonne, who, as I just said, has resigned. I have asked A.C. Byrd to be the convener. Okay, with that, we have an agenda. A proposed agenda scheduled to last 2 hours and 10 minutes. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
I move to
not
approve.
Not 2 hours and 10 minutes.
I move to approve the agenda, Mary Berg.
Is there a second?
Second.
It's open for discussion, debate, amendment.
I would like to move that we end the meeting, try as hard as possible to end by like 12, 10.
How about 11:30?
New York time, I should say.
Shoot.
Or 11:30? Goodbye.
11:30 is 1 hour from now?
1 hour and five minutes.
5 minutes.
I think
she said 12.
Is there a second?
O'clock.
Is there a second? Wait, I'm sorry. Are you changing it, Lisa?
As we speak. I'll change it to 12 o'clock. If somebody wants to amend it, they can. But 12 o'clock New York time.
So 9 o'clock.
Is there a second to the motion to end at 12 o'clock?
I second that.
Oh,
okay.
Mr.
In
Chair,
debate,
what is that
now? If in debate, if people. Excuse me. You didn't have the floor at that moment, and I was trying to address something. To do that, we really need a specification of what items will be dropped. Is the proposal to stop wherever we are in the agenda at that point? Is that what I'm hearing?
I would propose that.
Okay, that's the amendment then, that we will adjourn at 12 o'clock Eastern Time sharp, regardless of where in the agenda we are, unless two-thirds approve a motion to extend. Okay, can we... Hello? Further discussion on the agenda?
I'm opposed to that.
Yeah,
Mr. Chair.
Rip Robbins.
Okay, I heard Patty, Rip, and Mary. Go ahead, Patty.
That puts us at, like, somewhere like the audit committee, so we're going to miss out on the LSD motions again, right? So, let's see. We spend all our time doing other nonsense. So let's see. Audit committee, membership. But no, we need to do that. I guess, you know, I just oppose that. I think we should get through this agenda. People,
yeah.
I think we should get through the agenda. Maybe people will, you know, try to. We know how we're going to vote on most things. Let's just do it. Can we just do it? This is a plea to my fellow members to just
do it. Discipline.
Okay. Discipline. Do it. You know how you're going to vote.
You mean,
Patty,
if I can understand, you're asking people not to repeat themselves many times once they've made the point.
Right. Or to tactically
in the interest
delay.
Of time.
Yeah,
or tactic delays. I'm against tactic delays as well. Thank you.
Don't do that.
Rip?
Yes, I would speak to keeping the agenda as it is. Everything on here needs to be dealt with, and I just think that if we just could deal with these and get them over with and stick to the times allotted and be done with it, then we wouldn't have to continue repeating these items over and over meeting to meeting.
Mary?
Is it in order to call the question? It takes tremendous amount of time to debate whether we're going to take the time. So I would rather spend the time on the agenda. Can I make that now?
Yes, you can. Is there a second to close debate on the agenda?
Second.
Okay. Is there any objection to the proposed amendment that we stop where... actually, I heard objection. Is there more than one objection to the motion to close the meeting at midnight Eastern time?
Yes.
Okay, so can you call the roll on the amendment, please, Teresa?
Aye.
This motion is at whatever point we are in the agenda at midnight, we stop, and obviously that's unless there's a motion to extend that receives 2/3.
Sorry, we're talking about this is a main motion by Lisa Davis to adjourn at midnight, correct?
That's right.
This is an amendment to the agenda to specify adjournment at midnight.
Okay, move to amend to adjourn at midnight. Okay, thank you. Sorry for the confusion. We're going to start with Zarina Shakir.
Yes.
Sar Randhawa.
Yes.
Rosalinda.
Yes.
Mary Berg.
No.
LaVarn Williams.
No.
Patty Heffley?
No.
Ray LaForest?
Yes.
Bob Lederer?
Yes.
Lisa Davis?
Yes.
David, I'm sorry, Alan Minsky?
Yes.
Don White?
No.
Lydia Brazon?
Yes.
I can't hear.
Yes.
Teresa Allen says no. Phil Jackson?
No.
Thank you. Evelyn Bethune?
No.
Deb Shafto?
No.
Rip Robbins?
No.
Ambrose Lane?
Yes.
A.C. Bird?
Yes.
What?
Rob Robinson?
Excuse me, what's the vote again, Teresa? I was not able to hear for a while. The phone...
The end is at... Midnight.
Motion by Lisa
Davis. No, no, thank you, Ambrose. No.
The vote is 1, 2, 3, 10 yes.
Ten yes.
Okay, the motion fails. Can you call the roll for the agenda as not amended?
Can you ask for objections, Mister?
Is there any objection to adopting the agenda as not amended? Hearing none, we'll go forward on that basis. The next thing is the approval of the minutes. We'll start with the wonderful minutes that our secretary sent around today for our previous meeting on the 13th. Is there a motion to accept the minutes from the 13th?
I move, Mary Berg, to accept the minutes from the 13th.
Second.
There's second.
Yes.
Any amendments to those minutes or discussion? Hearing none, is there any objection to adopting those minutes? Hearing none, they're adopted. Are there any other minutes that are before us from public session, Teresa?
Not at this time, and
right.
I would like to issue a very serious apology to everyone. I've just procrastinated, and I swear that I will make this my highest priority and try to get these out.
Okay.
I don't know what to say.
Thank you very much, Teresa, for all your work, because I know how much work it is, and your minutes are remarkably clear. So thanks for that work. Also, the minutes do reflect that at the last meeting, I asked that the all approved minutes be forwarded to the webmaster for posting, and I'm hoping that we can get that done as soon as possible. A number of people have been expressing their desire to be able to see the National Board minutes, and I think that's important. Can you get to sometime?
I have done that, and Pete Caracas is now on vacation. Evidently, he has to encode something, or
you should send them anyway, Teresa.
Okay, we can deal with that offline.
Yes,
thank
please.
You.
Well,
thank you. And
I have done that. I have sent him what has been approved.
Okay. Thank you very much. So then we've approved the minutes. The next item is the ED report, including update on national programming, including the Spanish language national newscast. It's 20 minutes. Deb, can you take time for items and let us know 5 minutes before the end of an item?
I will.
Thank you. And Sarv, you'll take, when people are speaking, you'll keep it to 2 minutes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sarv. Go ahead, Greg.
Good evening, everyone. Good to be right back with you. I'll try to keep this brief. But first, I wanted to just publicly thank a few people who have been really helpful to me and to the organization in recent days. John L. Mella, who streams these meetings and whose consistency and professionalism has really been extremely helpful in keeping us in contact with the public. To Dave Adelson, who has been very helpful to me personally and helped explain to me many aspects of Pacifica's governance structure and how to operate in this organization. And to Rob Robinson, who has been very helpful to me in understanding the dynamics of program development and recent work with the programming committee. And to Lonnie Hicks, especially, for his tireless work on behalf of this organization and his commitment to keeping it sustainable, and to all the members of the national staff. The report I have is very brief. I've sent you two reports, actually, one earlier this morning at the request of Dave Adelson, which was a general report on the status of program evaluation efforts. We were able to get responses from 4 out of the 5 stations in a matter of 2 or 3 days, which is some sort of recent record. I won't go into details, but you can ask me questions about that, and I'll answer it as well as I can. I'm trying to sensitize the managers and the program directors that although programming is largely a matter of local decision-making, that the national organization has an interest in making sure that the programs that are developed are evaluated, that they're being developed in conformance to the mission of the organization, and that efforts are made to bring new voices onto the air, and you can see in that report what efforts they are making. Also, very recently, within the last hour, I sent you an update on the progress being made on the fall national programming, which is being produced by Otis McClay in association with a large number of people, a 10-week limited series, 2 hours a week, which will begin on the 16th. Of September. We are, despite a somewhat shaky start, being recruiting quite a few people from every station area and from many affiliates to develop what I think will be an exciting new format. It will be 2 hours developed in 4 half-hour segments on a weekly basis, pre-recorded. They will be developed. The first half hour will be developed out of New York with Mitch Jezerik as the main host, but with some co-hosts, a news update of week's events relating to elections, but going beyond that to the role of the media and the threats to democracy. But then subsequent half hours segments that will be produced by various stations. And the report that I provided to you provides you with some names of people who are already committed to this process, and there'll be a very critical conference call next Monday in which we will determine the final order of the topics for the air, and then perhaps a week after that have a demo of that can be distributed so people can get the idea of what this show is going to sound like. On the Spanish language newscast, I don't have too much to report except to tell you, first of all, people are well aware now of the board's motion of its last meeting, asking them to report by September 15th on their efforts to get the program on the air and to have a plan of implementation by early October. It will be on the air in Houston by that time. I have recently received an additional response from the program director in New York, Bernard White, that says that he is simply waiting for me to say to go ahead and do it. We are having discussions about other programming issues in New York, but I take that to mean that there is no obstacle to putting it on the air in New York. That would mean that three stations out of five would be broadcasting this in the near future. We have yet to really hear definitively from WPFW and KPFA, but now that you passed this motion, I'm hoping that, that will accelerate the process. And I will stop there and leave some time for questions.
It's open for questions. But I'm going to take I'm going to abuse the prerogative of the chair for just a moment and report to the board that while at barn raising for a low power station in Oregon for Campesinos y Piñeros Unidos del Noroeste, I had the opportunity to run into Romeo Ramirez of the Coalition of Immokalee Workers, who have a low-power FM station, which is our first Spanish-language affiliate, Radio Conciencia. And he said that they were very grateful to Pacifica for the broadcast and are airing it four times daily now. And he's in contact with a station in Guatemala that is interested in carrying it. So I thought the board might like to know that.
All right.
Further discussion on the report.
You know, Rip Robbins here.
John White.
Rip, go ahead, and then Don.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment that, you know, I don't feel that I would be the one qualified to review the Spanish language program, but our new Spanish programming director at our station has listened to the show, and we're going to be adding it. And he made a point to tell me that he thought it was very well produced and that it that the content was well received, and 50% of my programming is in Spanish, so I have a lot of Spanish speakers listening to my station. So I value that input, and I'd like to share with all the board members that that was the report. So I think, Greg, that I look forward to the other programming, and probably, you know, our station's going to carry that too. So I applaud the efforts Pacific is making to take steps forward with national programming, and this is the kind of thing we should be talking about. Thanks.
Thank you. Don.
Yeah, I would like to concur with those remarks, and I'm just delighted to hear that the compañeros in Florida are programming that four times a day. That's inspiring. Around the Spanish language programming, Greg, there has been discussion over slotting it at odd hours and displacing other programs. Do you happen to know in Houston if a decision has been made not to replace Flashpoints with this program?
Well, my understanding is that they intend to replace Flashpoints with this program, but they simply delayed that decision until mid-September due to the coverage that Flashpoints was giving to the Middle East crisis.
Well, that's exactly the point of my question. It seems that while it would be just tremendous to have this on all five stations, at this point in history, Flashpoints is also an important program. So I'm just making that little editorial comment, and that's all I have to say.
I'm not satisfied with that decision either, and as I said to you all in June in New York, I personally think that this show should be broadcast whenever possible earlier in the evening in association with a block of related programs, but that hasn't been possible at this point, and it's an ongoing debate between myself and the general managers and program directors about the nature of the grid and how we develop new audiences.
This is Lydia.
And this is Rob after Lydia, if possible.
Okay.
Go ahead, Lydia, then Rob.
Yes, and this is actually also directed to Teresa, is that I did ask Fernando what time the show is on audio port and accessible. He says 4 a.m. Los Angeles specific time, so that would be 6 a.m. your time.
Excellent.
Yes, anyone who knows Fernando knows he does not sleep. Just keeps going, like the Energizer.
All right, so we could cover that.
24/7.
Yes.
We could take that at 6 a.m. Central.
Yes.
Great.
It's both on audio port and our website, I understand.
Rob? Yeah, I just wanted to ask Greg if one of the things we could conceivably do in the course of having this discussion about Informativo Pacifica would be to get a closer look at some of the Arbitron books that you've got now, to just kind of get a sense of what kind of audiences we're generating for current public affairs shows, and to begin to track what sort of things we get in the future with this show when it goes on the air at different times. Because I think one of the concerns that many of our stations should have is that we haven't reached out to a Latin, a Spanish-speaking audience in the past before, and so we really won't know what kind of an impact a show like this will have until we promote it and get it on the air. So I'm wondering if that's one of the things we can do with you over the next month.
There will be a bit of a lag in getting that information and turning it around because the Arbitrons don't come to us until sometime after, the period.
No, but we can look at the history of what's going on right now between, say, the 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. Yeah, that's all.
Yes.
Dave, this is Ray.
We can look at that.
Sorry, Greg.
5 minutes.
We have 5 minutes remaining for this. Go ahead, Ray.
Yes. Well, by the way, I support Rob's remark. I think it's an excellent point. And Greg, I wanted to know, can you update us as to how it's being implemented in Washington, D.C.?
I didn't quite get the question. Sorry.
What is the situation in terms of in Washington, D.C., WPFW, in terms of this program, the Spanish language program?
Well, actually, to be honest with you, I haven't gotten an answer from Ron yet about this, except the answer that I think you all heard a couple of months ago, which was his concern was that it was not bilingual, but that he had the intention of including it as part of an evening program at 9 o'clock, but that hasn't happened yet.
I have one follow-up question.
Our variety program.
I know it's a shot in the dark, but is there any consideration that could be given to providing a bilingual segment to WPFW that would be still organically connected to the rest of the programming?
Well, I think that the feeling is that would really not be consistent with the format, but also there's the question of the cost of doing that. Right now, there are no plans, and the money that we've allocated for it does not really allow for that, and it would really change the nature of the program. My suggestion would be that, rather than a bilingual broadcast, that we broadcast it in Spanish and then also broadcast it in English, but that, too, would have additional costs. I don't know that we can do that in the short term, however.
This is Lydia.
Okay, go ahead, Lydia.
Oh, okay. Two things. One is that I think it would be very useful to put out a press release once we have our whole network grid on
mm-hmm.
this. And because, here we have like a central place where you send your press release and all of the media, English and Spanish, check that. So we could get free publicity out of it and help develop that new audience. And I forgot my second point. Sorry. Go ahead. Oh, I remember. Is that that one option until we can develop, let's say, an English version of the newscast, is to perhaps have a summary of the show on our website, and I think that that's a certainly a possibility. And I have long advocated here from our Spanish public affairs show. They have things that none of our English public affairs show carry that is phenomenal by English-speaking people who happen to be bilingual and are on their shows. And I have often advocated that they should put out what they're putting out in Spanish and share it with the English-speaking program.
Can I get on
That's
back?
A great idea. Do you know of anyone who could produce such a summary?
Pardon?
Do you know of anyone who could help us to produce such a summary?
I just came up with that, but I will certainly give it some thought.
Please let me know.
Okay.
How much do we have time left, Deb?
3 minutes. 2 minutes.
Can I
go ahead, Lisa?
I'll just be real brief. I want to just second Lydia's idea because I also think it's just a good idea, like even for people who work at the station who don't speak English, to at least know, have some idea of what's being discussed and things like that. I mean, who don't speak Spanish, who have some idea of what's being discussed, you know, on the show and stuff like that. So I think the summary is a really good idea.
Thank you. Any last comments before we move the agenda?
This is AC.
Go ahead, AC.
I think it's not true what Greg was saying about WPFW. There was a significant number of emails that I read today where WPFW was, I know from talking with the manager that he definitely wants to carry the program, and he wants to talk with his collective here in Washington as an hour show. He wants to deal with that and then report back by the 13th as was requested in motion pass to the ED. So I don't think it's fair to say that we've only heard from him for what took place in New York earlier this year. Because I think there was some communications online today that I read on that.
Okay, thanks very much. So the next item on the agenda is the Finance Committee report for 20 minutes. You'll let us know 5 minutes in advance, Deb. And Sarv, since I'm on the Finance Committee and would like to comment on this, will you take the chair during the Finance Committee report?
Thank you.
Thanks. LeVon is our chair.
Thank you. Go ahead, LeVon.
I'm sorry. I was just stepped away. David's asking me to do a brief report on the budget.
The Finance Committee report.
Oh, this will be very, very brief. We had our Finance Committee meeting, National Finance Committee meeting last evening, and basically what we did was went over the budget, and the CFO, Lonnie Hicks, had prepared a summary in terms of where each station is with the budget. And so really what I would do is just to read from Lonnie's summary report, which states that, sorry, I was not really prepared to do this right now. But I don't have the details right here, but let me just tell you that we're still in the process of doing the budget. All the budgets have not been completed. And the other part of the total plan, but we have a summary plan, and in terms of revenue is almost flat. And the issues, though, within the budget, of course, are in terms of expenses and in terms of having your one-month reserve for each station. And those issues are still there. And what I would do is I'd just like, if Lonnie is still on the call, I'd like Lonnie to speak to the status of each one of the stations with the budget, and that would give us a good summary. Lonnie, are you there?
I'm here.
If you could do that, I would appreciate it.
Sure. Well, as all of you know, we're deep into the budget process right now.
Lonnie, you're very hard to hear.
Very hard to hear.
There's a lot of noise in the background.
Is this better?
Yes.
Okay, I'll try to speak up. Well, let me give you a quick update on where we are in the budget process, station by station. As of yesterday, KPFA, LSB, and approve the budget, and we do have a copy, and it is included in the update that we talked about last night. KPFK, the LSB will meet on the budget Monday night to review it and to look at it. WBAI, the LSB has not yet set a final date to finalize the budget, although they are looking to do that. KPFT, the LSB has approved the budget, and we have it in hand. WPFW, the LSB has not yet approved the budget, although they are looking to set up a special meeting to get that done. The national office budget, we have been going over, and I'm gathering some material together for the committee, which we will look over, but we're not yet complete in our budget, although we have a draft budget. So that budget does depend on what the remaining two or three stations do in terms of what they may or may not add to the budget. And that determines in the end what kind of revenue is available and what kind of expenses are available. That's a quick summary of where we stand. We had set a deadline roughly to have all the budget in roughly around the 15th of August. We have scheduled another meeting to accommodate follow-on budgets for next Thursday. And if necessary, I think we've scheduled another one for around the 18th of September if we have to. So we are working at it. How do they look? I'll just say one or two things about it. They are not complete, so none of this is final. But, for FY06, we look to be around break-even. That is, we had a budget of $919,000, and it looks like we may be close to it, but I think we'll probably be off by $50,000 negative or $50,000 plus at this point. Don't know until the stations do some of their final reporting for this fiscal. Next fiscal, we aren't finished yet, but right now we still have work to do. Still have work to do on the FY07 budget. Anyway, that would be a quick summary of where we stand at least. We are reviewing several particular motions. LaVarne, do you want to take those up or do you want to skip them for the time being?
We can, let me just go through my notes here. We can skip those for the time being. But just another, in terms of a summary on the budget, in terms of income, the forecast for this year is $16.8 million, and the budget for 07 is 18.4, so that's like about $1.6 million higher. And that some of the concerns in the budget, like basically it's a going rate, what we're spending this year, we're basically spending the same thing next year. Concerns that we talked about, because we'd also talked about in terms of vision and what we would like to see, and some of the things that are not in the budget are the technology initiatives that Greg had outlined. We talked about digital programming. That is not in the budget. We do have some things in there with the election in terms of getting optical equipment. We talked some about in terms of the direction with the KU satellite and whether that's covered in the capital budget for 07. So the concerns that we have are there are certain processes and needs for the foundation to ensure that we're in regulation or in compliance with FCC and other regulations, and that, as Greg had stated, that those efforts are done, but we'd like to see those in a plan so that they're monitored in each station on a schedule basis. That we'd really like to see the major initiatives on a timeline so that we can see when those initiatives, whether it's fundraising through mail drops or other programs that we're developing, we'd like to see those programs on a timeline so that we all can look at them to see what the progress is, how we're doing, and so each station is aware of these major initiatives and to see if there's conflict or to see if there is actually some economies of scale that can be achieved or realized by being aware of what the foundation is doing. So, again, the key thing is that we're really not, in terms of listener income, it's really not growing, that we have some challenges and opportunities ahead on this budget so that we can continue to be in compliance and we can have a plan to make those things happen and those can cascade down to the station. That's it.
Thank you. This is Dave Scharf.
All right. So we have about 12 minutes, so we'll take a couple of minutes each. Dave,
Rick Robbins. Yeah, I just want to say I want to emphasize what LaVarne has just said so people know. We're going to get this budget at the end of September, and it's fundamentally a standstill budget. I mean, we've invested more in the affiliates program, and the affiliates program has increased its revenue recently. Thanks, kudos to Ursula on that. The web expenses are going up by a significant percentage amount, but it's only from $24,000 to $42,000, so it's $18,000. The national office is making a commitment to raise a great deal more money this year than they've ever raised before. In this budget, they are, through mail drops and cooperative efforts with the stations, talking about increasing their budget, in their income, from $1.05 million this year to $1.95 million, essentially a 90% increase in revenue. And with that, we're not really getting, I mean, because of just the overall structure of our finances, we're not really able to do particularly more than we're doing now. There's a step, we're contemplating a step increase for Free Speech Radio News to bring them closer to their actual costs of production. We're talking about having this national program, 11-week program in the fall. But when you take that stuff out, there's no real more money for programming this. Oh, and we're talking about funding the Spanish language newscast, which is a great development, and it's one of the more significant advances. But beyond that, we're very much constrained. I think this board, in order to deal with digital distribution and forward-thinking plans, this board is going to have to get active and start raising some money around some concrete visions, where we're gonna have to contribute some stuff, because and then during the course of next year, we're really going to have to look inside these budget lines as the structure of our organization, because I don't believe it's sustainable as it's presently going in the long run, because there's no room to invest in the things we need to do to change. Thanks.
Rip?
Yes, I just wanted to point out, at a zero budget, it means that at any fundraising quarter, depending on revenues and fundraising, that we're already looking at a $1.6 million difference. So Dave had some very good points about initiatives that the board can do to try to raise some money, but the other monies that he talked about don't quite cover that, and if there's any fall in the fundraising. And so what I would also want to say is that there is an opportunity for stations to increase the amount of money that they're raising. And some stations are increasing, but some stations aren't. And at those stations that aren't, I think we need to look at those trends and wonder and evaluate possibly the programming at those stations, which doesn't mean that you correlate that like an advertising revenue, but you need to look at where the money's not coming in and wonder if it's really serving the audience there. So there are things stations can do to increase the revenue as well.
Thank you, Rip. And this goes also when I talked about various processes to make sure we're in compliance, and that includes program evaluations. Those things you have to incorporate into your budget to make sure the funding is there, that there are processes in place or classes available, seminars available to teach one how to do program evaluations. Because all of those things cascade down to, as you say, it translates to revenue. And unless we have those processes in place, we have the ability and skills to make that happen in each one of the stations, then we are into this basically going rate where there will be very small amount in terms of revenue increase until we get those processes in. And they're absolutely all related. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Yeah, this is Rob Robinson.
Yes, Rob, go ahead.
Yeah, I'd just like to thank LaVarne for her last remarks and offer to work with the Finance Committee on behalf of the Programming Committee, because really the budgets that we've been seeing in the past few years, and this budget as well, do not deal with concrete attempts to increase our audience, to increase the monies that we raise from existing revenue sources, or to explore additional revenue sources. My understanding is that the increase that's projected by the national office is basically going to come from a couple of mail drops. And that's good. We should do that. But there are a number of other existing revenue sources and new revenue sources that we can tap into. And I think a key issue is the fact that there really is no commitment, no goal to expand the audience at any of the stations, and I think that's something that we have to be able to do. I would also like to correct a misimpression that arose in the report that we just heard from Lonnie. The WPFW local station board has not received a budget yet. So it's not that we haven't taken a position or reviewed the budget. We don't have one to review. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Ray?
Ray, go ahead.
Yeah, well, as far as I've heard so far, I would just mention that we're dealing in complex issues, including educating people about the very important issues that are relevant to the future of this country. So sometimes, just as when you create an education project in a new society, that is a payoff immediately, financial consideration on the anyone. I can think of a show at WBAI dealing with indigenous people, and that show might, on the surface, not be effective, but I would not want to. I think the work it's doing is mission-connected. I don't know if you're going to cover that. I know that in the past we have discussed looking at a segment of the budget dealing with room in the budget for the affiliates. I didn't hear anything. I don't know if you're going to touch on that. And If you, I wouldn't mind hearing what plans are being contemplated, and if you have to think about not only putting an item on the budget, but how we could change the formula that exists now, and begin a discussion to do so.
Thank you, Ray. Anyone else?
Don White.
Go ahead, Don.
Yeah. I'm on the archives committee of this board. We have a continuing issue in archives with a vast treasure of tapes going back over 50 years. I'm wondering in this budget, which I have not actually studied and seen, two questions. One, is there any increase in the budget for archives to preserve and digitize some of our treasures there? And secondly, in New York, we voted to separate affiliates and archives. And I guess now that is the fact. They both have line items. And to what degree are they self-sustaining, and to what degree is the Finance Committee recommending support for those two departments, archives and affiliates?
Lonnie, you want to take that, or?
Yeah, I'll start, I guess. Well, let's take the archives first. The question is, are there additional monies in the archive budget for preservation? They have a grant, which is winding down, for preservation, and they have been able to accomplish quite a bit. That's not enough. As you know, we have 50 years of tapes, and it's very difficult. I think we looked at what it would take to fully restore the entire archives library, and it would take millions, assuming we were to do them all, but they've been prioritizing and trying to make forward progress that way. As the priorities for the budget, when we looked and asked for prioritization, one of their major priority was to hire a cataloger. And that is something that's been in the budget, but it hasn't, in fact, been used. But this year it's in the budget, and they are in the process of hiring a cataloger. So that's been the major priority that they've identified, and that's being funded, and it'll be used. As to the affiliates, I won't go into too much detail about it, but, yes, the affiliate budget was received, and there was a request for $50,000. And we're still in the process of looking at the detail of that, but we have placed it in the budget and identified what some of the items that additional $50,000 would be expended on. So we have increased, and I think Greg and I will be doing a report that'll go through all of the initiatives that are in the National Office budget and some of the ones that are in the state as well, and we will spell those out for the board. What are the programs? What are the initiatives that are embedded in this budget?
that are trying to fund and move the network toward ward goals. So we actually worked on that today, and it's more or less ready. So we will be doing that with the Finance Committee and with the board, saying what are the initiatives that this budget identifies that the numbers mean. That is, what are the goals that are embedded in the budget? We're working that through part way. So I hope that answers that question.
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Hello, Mr. Chair, may I say something?
Just a couple of minutes.
This budget overall, just one sort of sentence on where we stand financially.
Thank you, Lynn. So we have just 2 minutes, so one more.
Mr. Chair.
Yeah.
May I say something?
Go ahead, Teresa.
Okay. Lonnie, did you just say that affiliates had asked for an extra $50,000?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Did you bother to tell them what income affiliates is expecting to generate?
Yeah, their revenue is, they're estimating that they'll be able to increase affiliate revenue from $150,000 this year, although I think Ursula said they might have some more stations coming on board, as that would increase affiliate revenue in FY07 to $200,000. And that extra $200,000, she presented a budget about how it could be used in the affiliate budget, and that's the one we've been looking at.
Sorry, that's 4 minutes.
Thank you.
So I just wanted to clarify. I think that the budget that she submitted, she was indicating that she would, that not she, the affiliates program would generate 89,000 clear for the national office. Thank you.
Yeah, well, that has to be vetted. What I'm working with is verifiable numbers at this point, Teresa. What I can see is absolutely verifiable. And right now, as I said, she has said that she thinks she can raise an additional $50,000 next year for the affiliates. So we're taking that and running with it and funding, and that is to say, spending those extra revenues on items that the affiliates programs are.
Thank you, Lonnie. We're going with it.
Anyone else?
Yeah.
Who's this?
Steve?
Ooh. Oh, wait a minute. Who's this?
Steve.
AC. Yeah, well, first I spoke, and then AC spoke. He spoke first, so AC should go first.
Yeah, go ahead, AC.
I want to know if, I mean, I know we've talked about expanding the membership and things like that, which is always very important, but what proactive recommendations do we have? Because I remember the discussion about having a network-wide fundraiser involving many of the people who support us here in Hollywood and in other areas of the country that support us. Have we considered that at all, Lonnie, and whether or not we should be looking into doing that? Because many national organizations does this from year to year off of that kind of thing, and when they raise several million dollars, and I'm wondering whether or not we might want to consider doing that at some point.
I agree with you 100%. One of the things we're hoping to accomplish with the mail drop is not just making other progressive organizations understand what we as the major independent media organization in the country are trying to accomplish, but having them become familiar with it, ask for their support as we move through this critical election year that we're going through. So that's one of the rationales for having a mail drop, doing a couple, so that it familiarizes other progressive groups that we exist and that we're doing good work and deserve support, financial support and other kinds of support. So that's one of the things that is in this budget. That's one of the reasons we're expanding the mail drops that we do, aside from the revenue, is to make people aware of us.
Thank you, Lonnie. We are at time.
That's Mary Burke. Are we at time?
We are at time, so unless there's a motion to extend time,
no,
that would require 2/3. We'll move on to the next bylaws amendment regarding at-large numbers.
Okay, thanks. And shall I, Mary, resume the chair?
Yes, please.
Okay. So, as people are aware, we have a bylaws amendment that has been properly noticed and is before us. The amendment is being put forward by six directors, Teresa Allen, Lydia Brazon, Lisa Davis, Bob Lederer, Rob Robinson, and Don White. Which of those directors would like to put it forward and describe to the board where we are in the administrative process for its passage?
Bob.
Yeah, Bob.
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, the amendment...
Wait, Bob, I'm sorry. Before you start, Deb, 20 minutes we have for this. You'll let us know in 15?
Yes.
Thank you. Go ahead, Bob. I apologize for the interruption.
Okay. The amendment was set by the board for a 60-day notice that began, I believe... I'm sorry, I don't have my papers in front of me, but I believe in mid-June, and so we're at, you know, that started a cycle of announcements being run on all five stations about the summary of the amendment, and then that this vote would happen in the latter part of August by the National Board, and if we approve it tonight, then it goes to the five assemblies of delegates, a.k.a. the LSB, but it's technically a separate body, delegates from each state. And if three of them adopt, then it will be added to a paper ballot as part of the elections, the LSB elections that are happening this fall. So that's the status.
Okay, can you please, would you like me to read the motion?
Please.
Okay, the motion... We'll amend the Article 5 of the bylaws to read as follows. And before I read it, I'll just explain. After all this verbiage is done, the effect of it is that the original bylaws allowed for a 22 or 23-member board, letting the board choose whether or not it wanted to add one at-large member. The amendment will expand that number to allow the board to opt as to whether to add two at-large members. So, and the language is as follows. There shall be a minimum of 22 and a maximum of 24 directors of the foundation. The board of directors shall fix by resolution from time to time the exact number of directors within the minimum and maximum numbers permitted herein. The board shall have equal representation from each of the foundation's five radio stations. The delegates from the five foundation radio stations shall each elect four directors, three of whom shall be listeners of sponsor delegates, and one of whom shall be a staff delegate, for a total of 20 station representative directors as set forth in Section 3 of this article of the bylaws. In addition, the board shall elect two affiliate representative directors from nominees submitted as set forth in Section 4 of this article of the bylaws. If the board, by resolution, fixes the number of directors at 23 or 24, then one or two additional directors, respectively, shall be nominated and elected as at-large directors as set forth in Section 5 of this article of the bylaws. That is the motion that's before us. Is there any debate?
Point of information, Mary Berg.
Yes.
I understood, did I hear Bob Lederer to say that if we approve tonight, it goes to the five delegate assemblies? Presumably that's the second. I've got two questions. It seems like it's going back to them a second time. We already voted it down, so I'm not sure if it has to go back. But then I thought I heard him say if three out of those five delegate assemblies approve it, it would go somehow in the election packet. What could I get that clarified, what he said about that?
I can clarify. The reason is the California law says that if you change the number of directors, mm-hmm. you need, actually, Bob, maybe you can clarify. As far as I understand, this is something that under California law requires the approval of all the voting members.
That's correct.
But it also, in order to be enacted, our bylaws require that within 30 days of our vote, or within a month, within the same month, I think it says, of our vote, they have to approve the thing. And actually, given that language as it exists in the bylaws, it might be wise to hold this vote in 5 days or rather 6 days at a meeting, at a later meeting, because there are those who might argue that, and have argued, that the requirement for the delegate assembly vote is that it be within the same calendar month.
So why
is it before us?
Our ballot.
It's before us because it was placed on the agenda earlier this month on the 13th, when there was still a month before us. But there's no, as far as I understand, there would be no problem with a motion to postpone to our next meeting. However, if we don't hold a teleconference before we hold our in-person meeting, then we might as well wait until October 1st. The problem with that is it wouldn't allow time for this thing to be put in the existing, in the balloting materials for our election, and so it would cost a lot more. So the optimal thing, as from an administrative point of view, I would think, is a motion to, is to schedule a meeting 1 week from today at which the sole agenda item would be this.
So move.
Second.
Is there a second?
Second.
Debate on the question?
What, can you repeat that again?
Wait a minute now. Let me see what the motion is. The motion is to have a meeting 1 week from today.
Correct.
For one item.
For the sole purpose of holding the vote on this amendment.
Why can't we hold it now?
Well, because...
because the bylaws say, the language of the bylaws specify that the delegate assemblies have to hold their vote on the amendment in the same calendar month. And although there's been discussion about interpreting that and saying it means that you have to do it within 30 days, strictly speaking, it would be much easier, so we don't waste a lot of time, to do it at the beginning of September so that there's no question but that it has to be done by the end of September.
So we're talking about holding 1 week from today,
a vote, a simple vote,
a PNB
vote. A one-item, 20-minute agenda item to hold this vote.
PNB vote.
Yes.
And that was
and
the only item.
Is, may I...
only item.
Point of information, that would be...
you promise?
Friday the...
the first? No, Friday the 1st.
Correct. And that way we would actually be ahead of schedule in this meeting, which would be, like, I think it's a record.
Good.
I'm yep. not saying anything until it's over.
Yeah.
And you are
exactly.
so right.
Exactly.
Who moved this?
I did.
Ambrose Lane moved it.
I seconded.
May we move to a vote on the motion to postpone till a week from today?
I
will insert at 8:30 p.m. Eastern as per our prior practice.
Yes. Yeah.
This is Bob.
Yes, Bob.
I'd like to see if there is any support for an amendment to have that meeting also include items that may be left over from tonight's agenda.
No.
I don't think so.
No.
No, we're not going to have any left over.
There you go.
There's
no reason to.
That would
good
be a separate.
All right, folks, we're going to lose everything we're gaining. We're going to lose everything we're gaining if we choose to waste our time. Just talking out. So,
Mr. Chair, what day did we just? What day?
Friday, September 1st at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Is there any objection? Hearing none, the item is postponed until September 1st, 8:30 p.m. in public session. The next item on our agenda. Wasn't expecting that, is the audit committee membership, 10 minutes. Don, you're chair of the committee. Could you please put forth the issue?
I'm going to ask for personal privilege here to or move that this report go to the next regular PNB meeting.
Is there any objection to the request of the audit committee chair to postpone this to our next next meeting with an open agenda, that is?
Point of information.
Yes, Arf?
What's the reason, Don?
I think the report will be of more value if we postpone it to the next meeting.
And this was just the issue of your membership. not your report. This isn't an audit committee report. This is the item on their membership.
This is the item.
Membership.
You see, Bertold Reimers is chair of this committee, and I wanted to consult with Bertold and the temporary chair who took our last meeting, Terry Goodman. I think we need to postpone this issue until the next meeting, I can consult with the chair.
Thank you. Is there any objection to postponement to our next open agenda?
Mr. Chair, I just would like to clarify, postpone what? Can we
regarding the audit committee membership.
It's number six on the agenda.
Thanks, Mary. Item six of our agenda. Okay, hearing no objection, we're going to proceed till the next meeting with an open agenda, i.e., we've decided next week's meeting is a one-item meeting. So whatever meeting we have next that allows for additional agenda items.